Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. It's your boy, Chris, and my constant co-host,
Tyler, y'all.
This week, we bring on a man of many hats and a lot of technology.
Billy Thorpe.
Hey, Billy.
Not the Australian rock star either.
Okay. Oh, dang it.
I don't know if you guys are... Yeah, sorry. I know people. I know a bunch of Australians clicked on this episode because they're like, "Oh man, maybe they did something cool with
his
voice."
You know, the next highest country other than the United States is Australia. So
it's not Denmark.
It's not Denmark. We only have one listener from Denmark.
But this week, because Billy doesn't drink whiskey or alcohol, really, for that matter, we have him doing a blind taste test. We're setting up drinking the High West. Double rye,
yep.
Which is one of Tyler's favorites, mm-hmm. which typically is going to have some clove, mint, cinnamon kind of scents on your nose. Should have a very spicy taste with mint, menthol. It says eucalyptus in the taste.
It is a blend of different ryes. It's not as good as the Burr rye, in my personal opinion, but it is another very good rye because you do get those different hints of spiciness, I guess you could say. And the reason why, and Chris hasn't gotten to it yet, but we're blind taste testing it against Evan Williams is because there has been quite a few blind taste tests where Evan Williams has been beating out some very good whiskeys. So that might be part of the show that we bring on if you guys like it.
Yeah, man. You know, in my opinion, it's going to make the difference. We'll make the decision right here globally. Right here on Whiskey and Wisdom, yeah.
If you don't like it.
The guy who doesn't drink will be the deciding factor. I think that's the best one, right?
Exactly. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, no experience at all wins. There we go.
All right, so you get to pick which cup we try first.
All right, I'm going to do the cool glass with your guys' logo on it.
All right, so we're doing the rocks glass to see what this one is. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tastes like whiskey. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tastes like whiskey. Super simple, classic. All right, so now for the fancy.
I'm just watching you guys doing what you do. So shake it around.
Yeah. Oh, we don't know what we're doing.
Do you sniff them? Okay, you sniff it.
We sniff it.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of spice.
Yeah, there's a lot more spice
that's
on
spice,
that.
Yeah, that's spicy. However, flavor-wise, I'm going to go with this one.
Okay.
The spicy one.
Why?
Well, it was a little bit syrupy, so I was like, oh, this kind of tastes a little syrupy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just a little bit smoother, in my opinion.
Okay.
I would agree. That one does taste.
It was a little spicy, but it wasn't bad.
Which is weird because on the nose.
It doesn't smell.
On the nose, it hits you hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as you smell it, it's like ethanol, but you taste it, it's really smooth.
I mean, there are a lot of.
All right, Chris, tell us what's in the Glencairn because it was a blind taste test.
Oh, so the Glencairn was the double rye.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes.
We went with the expensive one.
Oh, we did. Okay. Yeah. This one here, the High West?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the reason why it actually has gin botanicals kind of blended in for the smell versus like the classic Evan Williams. And like you mentioned, the mash bill on the double rye is actually a 95.5 barley malt from MGP. And then the 80-20% malted rye from the High West Distillery. So they just blend it together. Get you a setup. And the loser of today's episode was the OG plastic bottle Evan Williams 1783.
So what's the price difference in like the High West double rye and that one?
So the plastic bottle of Evan Williams was like $15.
Yeah.
High West, I'm pretty sure, was like $70.
Okay.
So a very large difference.
I got good taste then.
Yeah, very good taste.
My wife is gonna be like, you're not gonna start drinking whiskey. Right. Wait, so is bourbon always whiskey or whiskey always bourbon? Like, how does that go?
Bourbon is always whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Okay, right. Cool.
And that's because bourbon technically is supposed to be from
the U.S.
Kentucky.
And it has to have a certain mash bill.
Yeah, well, yeah, it has to have a certain mash bill, which means it has to be 51% corn or more. And then
it's corn.
Yeah, a lot of people say that bourbon has to be from Kentucky, but the official, like, if you went to the whiskey place of wisdom, it's just from the U.S., and it has to be in a charred oak barrel.
Yes.
Right? A new charred oak barrel.
All right.
Not used.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I watched I don't know if it's on Netflix or Hulu, but there was like some kind of documentary about this guy who worked at a distillery and was like stealing it and like selling it, like millions of dollars worth of bourbon.
Yeah,
so.
Pappy Van Winkle.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I think, can't remember the whole story.
He stole Pappy.
Yeah, he stole Pappy and was selling it. And that's how it got to be so popular, and why you can, if you go into an ABC store in North Carolina, you'll never find it.
Yeah.
It's literally impossible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And if you try to get it online on the secondary market, it's stupid expensive.
Well, dude, they were like showing bottles there like $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Like on eBay or whatever. I was like, gosh, man, that's crazy.
Nope. I mean, you can go and buy that bottle for, I could be exaggerating, but let's say like a regular bottle of Pappy, you're looking like $70. And you're turning around and selling it for like $5,000.
Wow.
Depending on the bottle. I mean, it could, maybe you're buying it for $150, selling for $5,000, or you're buying a $70 bottle and you're selling it for $3,000. But still.
I'm going to be honest. I expected that when I came in to see that sitting here. But since you guys did.
A bottle of Pappy.
We got a podcast. You guys are running here, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Where's that top shelf stuff at? Where's that?
We'll call Chris LeCoe. He's the one that has the ends to those bottles.
Let's see. I'm being the old Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all. Every time I think of old Van Winkle, I'm just like, I think there was a TV show, wasn't there? The guy's name was Van Winkle.
I thought there was like
or Van Dyke, maybe.
Right.
And that could be why my brain keeps going to it. And I'm like,
Right. Well, enough about the whiskey now. And so, Billy, tell us a little bit about your story, about what you do now and how you got there, and something you're not going to get out of for this podcast. You're going to tell us a little bit about the Puerto Rico stat.
Oh, okay, cool, man. So I create content full time. So that's my job. And then my business, I guess, is creating content. And it really started like 3 years ago during the pandemic. I was, So pre-pandemic, like back up a little bit, I worked at a nonprofit at a church for like a decade doing a bunch of media stuff, TV stuff, audio, video, whatever, and then playing music there. And then I was getting married, and I was like, holy cow, I need to make some money. So I started like researching, because I was doing graphic design. So a lot of people would be like, hey, can you make this graphic for me? Can you make this logo? And I'm like, yeah, sure, cool. And then people would be like, oh, can you put it on a t-shirt? And I'm like, nah, I can't do that. Like, go to this guy down the road. Well, guy down the road, like, messed up one day and was like, yeah, man, thank you for sending me all this business. So I'm like, well, how much business? And he told me, and I was like, oh, all right, man. Well, you just created a competitor, maybe. I don't know. And so, dude, I watched YouTube videos for, like, months and months and months. And then my wife now, somebody in her family, like, distant family, passed away, and he owned a screen printing business.
Oh, wow.
So we, like, go in this basement. I'm looking at all this gear, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a crazy amount of money. Like, I know this is going to be expensive. And I'm like, how much you guys want for it? Like, oh, we'll take $9,000. I'm like, yeah, $9,000 is good price. Like, that's a good price, but I just don't have it. And they're like, no, $900. Like, we got a bill to pay. We want this crap out of our basement.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't make enough money. So I was like, I don't have $900, but my father-in-law was like, look, I'll give you the money. You just pay me back. And that's how it started, man. So I bought all this gear. I had a little room, probably just a little bit bigger than this one, and watched YouTube videos and learned how to screen print t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
And still haven't paid him his $900. But I married his daughter, gave him a grandson, so I think we're even.
Yeah, that works out.
But, yeah, so after that, man, kind of fast forward, like, you know, 8 years of doing that. And, you know, being a business owner, nothing's always sunshine and rainbows. Like, there's ups and downs. And so I'd work, like, sales gigs and consulting gigs. And, you know, I'd work, like, whatever I needed to. And that t-shirt business was, like, my side hustle. And then 2020, dude, we were like crushing it. January, February was amazing, and we signed like the biggest deal we've ever signed. Like, the first order was going to be like 4,000 pieces for this company, and dude, I was so pumped. And then March, like 16th of 2020, like my emails just blowing up with like canceled order, canceled order, canceled order, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm done. Like, this is it. Like, I'm because we were like catering to other nonprofits building product tables. So it was all big audience stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any like brands who were like selling online or anything. So essentially my business went away in like a day.
Wow.
And so dude, for the next 30 days, all I did was sit at my desk, cry a little bit, and then listen to people call me, other entrepreneurs, and just listen to their needs. And that was it. So I was just like, kept listening. And so, you know, one person called me, a local guy here, Gary Hurley over at Fisherman's Post, and said, hey, man, we got to do something different. We got to go digital, more digital. And he's like, we're thinking about doing a podcast. Can you help us? Because I had created a saltwater fishing show previously with a partner, did it for a while, then sold my half to the partner. And so anyway, I was like, yeah, dude, I'll help you. Here's the price. He's like, nah, dude, we can't pay that price. And I'm like, cool, man. Well, I'll just do half of it. I'll like own half of it, you know, of the podcast. So any revenue we make, that's what we'll do. And that was kind of the conversation with my wife, because she's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I just want to create I want to get back in the content creation space, video and audio. Yeah. I just really don't know how. She's like, why don't you just go all in on podcasting? And so, you know, with her permission or whatever, or like belief that I could actually do something in podcast world, I'm like, all right, man, let's go. And so Gary and I partnered up. We started a show. I said, hey, we're going to do 4 episodes and we're going to get a sponsor. If we don't get a sponsor after 4 episodes, I don't know if I can invest time, you know? And so we did, man. We created four shows. We had like 100 people listen to each episode. So we had 400 downloads, and we went out in Marine Warehouse Center here in town, said, yeah, man, we'll sponsor you guys. We believe in what you're doing. And that was like 3 years ago. And so we've been doing the podcast for almost 3 years. And, you know, basically between that and then teaching other podcasters how to monetize is really what I have been doing for like the last couple of years. And then most recently, like while I was in Puerto Rico, I learned about a program called Amazon Live Influencer Program, where you can basically post short form video and content on Amazon, do live streams, all that stuff. And so I got into that a little bit in Puerto Rico. It started paying off really well. And then when I got home, I got a studio space and started going crazy. So now I'm going to retire from my podcast and focus on that full time.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm grinding, dude, just making videos for Amazon sellers.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, too, I don't even know if I told you this before.
So make me cry.
I'll try not to. So when Chris and I were originally, we got the concept of the podcast down. We're looking for spaces to go. Something you didn't touch on, but I'll make sure I bring up, is you used to have a podcast studio in town.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
for like a month. No, I'm just kidding.
So no matter how short it was, which is funny though, is because you must do really well at SEO, because you popped up pretty high when I was looking for studios.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and I saw you actually had a podcast about creating podcasts.
Yeah.
And
I've had a few podcasts about something.
Right.
About podcasting. Right. I think I had like podcasting for money. I had like creating daily. So creating daily was a live show I did. And then I can't remember what the other one was. Maybe it was like creating for money or something. Everything's involved around making a buck. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. And so one of the first ones that you created about creating podcasts, I saw that and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Some local guy that also created podcasts. I listened to that. That was super helpful.
I'll be
completely honest, and that's one of the reasons why we are where we are today because I listened to everything. And I was like, okay, he likes these type of microphones. He likes this type of thing. Like you build content this way. So I owe a lot of appreciation and our success to you. So thank you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, I'm sorry you listened to me. I'm just kidding.
No, it worked out well. So.
Yeah, this is great. No, you guys get a great space, man, great podcast. So
thank you.
It's awesome. Well, I'm glad I could help you in some form or fashion, so appreciate it.
I think the only thing we haven't learned yet is how to monetize.
Yeah, you just got to keep calling people and asking them for money.
So I'll be honest. I learned a lot about monetization for you too, and I just haven't taken the leap of faith myself and started knocking on every single door that I come across.
Yeah.
So I will take the ownership on that one. You have given me all of the tools to do it. I just haven't had the faith in myself to go out and do it. So.
Exhibit A of why I don't coach podcasters anymore.
Right.
I'm just messing.
Exactly.
I'm just messing.
I'm sure it's pretty true though. You tell everyone all of this information, they probably give you a bunch of money to do it, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, man. I mean, that, you know, believe it or not, that was like the case multiple times when people were like, I want to do a podcast, or I want to do this, or I want to monetize, or I want to whatever. And, you know, I'm like, cool, like just pay me XYZ and I'll give you, you know, I'll walk you through the steps. Like, and they just would pay me, not show up to calls, not do anything. And I'm like, what is happening? And, you know, and some people would just be like, cool, man, I'm pocket the cash and keep you on the monthly plan. And I'm like, I can't, man. I want results for you. Like, and if you don't want results, I can't work with you. So, yeah, man. So I don't know. It's one of those, like, I don't know. Maybe as an entrepreneur, it's stupid. Maybe I should just take whatever people want to pay me. If they don't show up, good. But I need to feel pride in the work that I do.
You know? And that says a lot about you, too, and why you're having the success that you're having now. I mean, it's that ethic behind it.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing, dude, that when people ask me, like, as an entrepreneur, as a podcaster, as a live streamer, as an Amazon Live influencer, like, how do you get to where you are? I'm like, I'm just the guy that's dumb enough to just keep showing up, like, just over and over and over. And it kind of goes back. I heard this one guy talking one time, I mean, years ago when I was in college, like, probably when I was 20. I'm 36 now, so probably 16 years ago. Yeah. This guy said this one phrase. He said, you gotta do the consistently – or consistent application of elementary things will win every time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, what did you say? Like consistent application of elementary things. And so I kind of adopted that late in life. I heard it early in life, didn't really pay attention to it until later. But that was one of those, there's like little phrases that people have said to me throughout the years. And that was one that really stuck. And then another one, I worked for this garage cleaning, because I dropped out of high school my last semester of high school. I couldn't do like algebra, like numbers and the alphabet together confused me. Like if you put like George Washington's and some penny, you know, whatever, like I'll do okay. Right. I'll figure that out. But when it's just like, you know, how many strawberries did Susie have? She had 85 in her hand. She dropped two. She gave four away. And I'm like, first of all, how did Susie have 85 strawberries in her hand? That's what I want to know. Yeah. I'm not worried about how many she has left. No wonder she dropped them. Like, how do you do that? So I was never really good at math. So I dropped out of high school. But to do that, I had to go to a GED program and get my GED, but I had to have a job. And so I worked at this garage just for like a month, basically. And this guy, it was a friend of a friend or whatever. And he's like, yeah, man, come in and clean these walls. And they're like block walls similar to these here. Yeah. And he's like, I just want you to clean them. So dude, I was like, yeah, I would do that. No problem. So I go through in like 2 days, I clean this whole garage. And so he came back. He's like, okay, let's take a look at it. So he goes through and he's inspecting it. And he's like, you missed this spot. It was a crappy job. And he said, let me tell you one thing. And I think if you'll grab onto this, you'll do something successful in life. Just think about quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And when you can get that, you'll do fine. And I was like, okay, consistent application of elementary things and quality over quantity. And those two things, man, it's really have kind of guided my life. And there's several other people and other things, you know, throughout the years. But it's really those two things. It's like, am I doing a quality job? Am I showing up every single day and just doing the little things? And am I doing them the right way?
Right.
And I think that's really, you know, is what's propelled me. And I'm not like over here like, hey, man, I got millions of dollars and drive a Lambo. Like, I'm not that guy, you know. But I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my work. And, you know, I've kind of found my niche in what I love to do. And it was with a lot of sacrifice, but it's been a lot of fun. Especially the last 6 months have been a lot of fun. It's been crazy. Awesome.
Yeah. I've seen your like slow ramp up because I follow you, I guess, on social media. All my apps just kind of blend together, so I don't see them as like one or the other anymore because they're all owned by the same people.
Yeah.
And I like watching the progression of like your change and your quality of knowledge, I guess. Because I'm like, oh, hey, he's live. Or he posted a video on this, and I guess social media knew you were coming on because I started seeing more of your videos than usual. Yeah. But I think it's just encouraging.
Yeah, man. You know, and I think that is the thing, too. It's like, because people are like, oh, man, and I don't have a big following at all, you know, but I have a pretty good, like, I don't have a huge following, but I have like a pure following. Right. And this is how we monetize the Fisherman's Post podcast so quickly, was because I was like, hey, we only have 400 people or actually 100 people listen to this thing four times.
Yeah.
But those people are the people that you want to come to your shop, to buy a boat, to do whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so those are the conversations. It's kind of that quality over quantity thing as well. And so, you know, same with social media. Like, I don't have a huge social media following, but the people who follow me are like true friends. Right. You know, they're like, I tell my wife all the time, like, hush, I'm talking to my internet friends.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So, man, we have a good time. You know, we help each other out, and it's more of like this collaborative effort to say, hey, we all want to win in this industry of, you know, content creation, and how do we, you know, really lift each other up and keep this thing healthy and really push forward. You know, like, I'm a part of this Amazon influencer thing, and I meet with probably like 20 or 30 other Amazon influencers like every day on Clubhouse. Wow. Mm. Not because we're like trying to set it up and be organized. Like, sure. We're just there and like, hey man, I'm trying this. This didn't work. This got approved. This got rejected. Amazon shut my account down. Now what I do? You know, it's like we're just working together as this, you know, creator economy to like lift up the whole industry of whatever we're working on. You know, it was the same in podcasting, same with live streaming. Like, it's really cool when you kind of find what you love and you'll admit to yourself that you love it. Right. And then you'll find your way in that. And I think a lot of people are, you know, especially in the content creation world, one, if I had to say, like, there's two things that that potential content creators or current content creators who aren't successful that they do is, one, they're too worried. They think other people care about them and they just don't. Like, nobody cares really about what I'm doing. I mean, you guys are very kind and you follow my social media, but at the end of the day, you're not like, oh man, Billy didn't show up and do a live stream. Like, you don't care. You're trying to build your own show. You're trying to build your own podcast. And then the second thing is they consume way too much content. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, if you're consuming more than you're producing, then that's a huge problem, you know? Yep. So I would say those two things are like what I see in the content world of like, this is why you're not successful. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Huh. I'm not saying that about you guys. I know I'm looking at you, but I don't do a lot of in-person interviews, so I'm trying to figure out the dynamic.
So you kind of hit what we've been noticing now, too, and I'm very much the analytics guy just because I'm weird like that. But with that being said, too, is I was going through social media so much, like trying to crack the code, I guess you could say. So I was consuming so much, just trying to figure out like what's going on here. And then my numbers were going down and down and down. And I'm like, I'm learning all of this stuff. I'm really trying to figure this out. Why is it going down? And I don't know who I was watching, but it was someone on Instagram. And they're like, stop trying to figure out the algorithm and just put something out there. It'll stick and you'll be looking at your own data. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to figure out based on your own data how to grow your own content.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what a novel idea. And now I've been posting more consistently. And again, we're going right back up. And I was like, oh, wow, go figure.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's weird how that works because I used to consume like a ton of content and I was doing the same thing. Oh, I'm learning all this stuff. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't applying anything.
Right.
And so it was kind of like, well, now I'm just kind of sitting here. And I was that guy where I would like live stream on Facebook or Instagram or do whatever, but I wasn't consistent with it at all. And then I've noticed just in, you know, consistency, man, like it's kind of interesting how as a content creator, you build relationship with people you've never met in your entire life. Like, like even locally, like I'll walk into a grocery store and you'll like see somebody just like really looking at you and you're like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is up? And he's like, hey man, I know you. Like, I know you from the podcast. And they'll start talking to me and show me fish pictures and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of creepy one, but really cool as well. It's like, okay, this is weird. You know, this is like fun to know that someone values your work that much. Mm-hmm. So that stuff kind of gives you a little more fuel to go. But yeah, man, it is. It's like, I hear people all the time. Like, I'm a part of this, you know, the social audio app called Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And dude, there's people on there to this day that I met 2 years ago that are like, yeah, man, I'm still just trying to figure out my podcast. I'm still trying to figure out like how long it should be, what the episode should be about, what this, the title, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, just hit record.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's not that hard. Like, do the Sean Cannell thing, just hit record, like what he says all the time. And they just won't, man. They're just paralyzed because of, it's kind of like in business too, man. I meet young entrepreneurs who are like, they got a phenomenal idea. They got a phenomenal product, but they've never sold it because they just won't take the chance of telling anybody about it. And it's like, dude, figure out all that paperwork crap later. Like, go make $1,000 and then you know you got something going on. You know, so it's like, get somebody to listen to you and then figure out how to get more of those people to listen to you. Don't worry about, you know, all the presentation stuff.
Yeah. There's a guy in the real estate world. He calls himself Beardy Brandon. And one of his biggest quotes is paralysis by analysis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's 100% what it is. And I started catching myself before we started this podcast, like kind of getting into that same thing too. Like Chris and I were bouncing around name ideas for too long. And finally, at one point, I was like, okay, put it out on Instagram. All right, this had the most votes. All right, let's go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, I think, you know, a lot of times, like, you could probably just start something. Like, I started all my podcasts within, like, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Not the fishing one, but not the Fisherman's Post, but all the rest of them, probably, like, the first fishing one, I think it took us, like, 2 weeks. Like, we came up with the name at a coffee shop like that, and I'm like, it took me 2 weeks to figure out the tech because we wanted to do a live stream show. And then our live stream show, people were like, oh, can you do this as a podcast? So we just ripped the audio, and that's how I got into podcasting, so to speak. But, dude, every other one, like creating daily, was like, oh, I want to do a daily live show while I was in Puerto Rico and talk to other creators. Okay, cool. What's that called? Creating daily. Okay, cool. That's what I'm doing. I'm creating daily show. Like, perfect. Here we go. Right, yeah. You know, that was it. And then I just started taking massive amounts of action on that show. And I think that's what people, you know, they do. They get paralyzed by what the other people think. And like, when you realize no one thinks about you as much as you think about yourself, like, you'll just start doing stuff.
Yeah.
And some stuff will work. And social media, man, that crap goes by so fast. It's like, dude, no one cares. Like, I will put out a 1 minute video talking about this microphone, like four, maybe 500 people will watch it, and then nobody cares anymore. Then they're all done. And it's like, cool. Now I get to put out something else. You know, and I don't ever try to figure out algorithms. Like, I don't know what that means.
I was talking to my friend Cassie, who was on the podcast a while ago, and she was like, you know, I just randomly got likes on a video that I posted like 6 months ago. I'm like, yeah, because the app, like, it never disappears. Mm-hmm. If the algorithm feels like, oh, hey, this is in style, they'll just send it to people. And I'm like, if there's a billion people using the app, it's going to show up again.
Yeah.
And we had Angela on not too long ago. And what she was talking about as well was very similar to what you were saying is when you put something out there, you think everyone just watched it.
Yeah.
Everyone cares about everything you put out there.
Yeah.
And she was like, no one saw it. And if they did, they don't remember they saw it.
Yeah.
So she was like, so if you put out the same thing again and again and again for the same content for 7 days straight, you hit different people, and the people that already saw it that don't remember that they saw it, they finally remember that they saw it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's the thing about, you know, like podcast content when I was putting a lot of it out there, especially like on live audio platforms or whatever. Like, dude, I just had like a spreadsheet of like topics that I could talk about that I felt pretty, you know, knowledgeable about. And then I would just like rotate through those.
Yeah.
And I'd rotate through four or five topics, and I'd go back and rotate through four or five more, because even if I was on your podcast like every single day talking about podcasting, there's some stuff that when you're listening to content that really sticks and resonates, and you go, oh, yeah, I should try that. And then you're fixated on that one point, and then you don't listen to all the other 500 points the person made, and then you could go back and listen to it again and get something else, or, you know, put it on repeat. And I think that's the cool thing about – I mean, that's absolutely right about content, man. It's like you can take one topic and have a bunch of subtopics and have a bunch of subtopics and subtopics and subtopics. And it's just this big triangle that just keeps going down. And it's like it never ending, you know, because that's one thing people are like, I just don't know what to talk about. And I'm like, just take a piece of paper, write down five things that you love. And then underneath that, break that stuff down and just keep going down into these little, you know, like little subtopics. And you'll have a year's worth of content before you know what's up. So, yeah, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
I was just going down like the random thought process I have. Like, I love the, because every week we've delved into somebody new for the most part, and coming up with ideas for season two, as that's pretty much what I'm calling it. It's just season two whenever we start changing year two. Up things.
Yeah.
And like, you know, maybe we might do like double episodes or like diving more into like, hey, we have invited you on, we're going to stick to this specific topic, and might do like shorter episodes or just do a really long episode. I mean, you heard the one with Reggie on it, and it ended up I love Pop, and it made sense to go into two episodes, but he just has so much to talk about
Yeah.
And I'm like, it makes sense.
Yeah. And you don't get to sit down. And here's the cool thing about podcasting and content creation. It's like, you know, for me, it really set in when I owned that little podcast studio called Copilot Studio or whatever. My friend Kyle has a podcast called My Wave Podcast. And basically sat at a table like this across from somebody else and talked about their favorite wave, you know, for surfing.
Yeah.
And I don't know jack about surfing, but I was sitting in the producer chair, not a part of the show, just listening to it. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, messing with audio or whatever and just making sure everything's good. And then all of a sudden it just clicks. I'm like, holy cow, man, I'm not like doing a job. I'm like capturing this dude's life and everyone else's life that sits in the across the table from him forever. Like I'm a time capsule capture guy, you know, he's like turned into this whole other thing. And then I thought it was really cool because I'm like, dude, no matter what, my son is going to get to listen to my grandkids or whatever that, however that plays out. Like there's going to be content online, presumably forever for them to go back and consume. So it's almost like really cool to think about, even if you don't make money with with content, even if it's not a job, but it's just a hobby, it's something to document. It's almost like a diary, but like easy to consume, you know, diary. And it's like, and it's kind of cool to know that, you know, there's going to be episodes where my son and I, he's four, but we'll go to the studio and hit record and we'll just talk, you know, we have like our own little podcast and, but no one else knows about it, you know, but that'd be cool if my grandfather, if I would have had that, you know, so it's kind of a cool thought, like long-term, more than just money and more than just, you know, like doing, you know, pushing our agendas forward. It's like, it's pretty cool just to be a part of that kind of community or whatever.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why we haven't really pushed hard to monetize it. Like, of course, everyone talks about like podcasting and content. You got to monetize, got to monetize. Chris and I both have relatively good jobs.
Yeah.
So we're grateful enough to have that backing to support this, and the amazing people that we've met just doing is worth way more than anyone could have paid us.
Yeah.
Because like we probably would have met through like Tippett or something at some point.
Yeah. But,
like it's a completely different relationship than what like we have now and how we've been able to help and or you've been able to help us and the other people that we've brought on too and to meet and everything we've learned about whiskey and all everything we drank. Like that's so much more than money to me anyway, especially since it's not something that's like high on the priority list for this podcast for us.
Yeah, man. So, it's that experience, dude. That's what it's the best part about it. And like you said, it's evergreen, man. Like all this content is like evergreen. It's out there forever. I mean, some of it's going to be relevant, some of it's not, but you know, for the most part, it's consumable and it's fun, dude. Like I started with Amazon Live. And I really, you know, started focusing on it like a year ago. Well, I started doing videos like maybe a little over a year ago while I was in Puerto Rico. And all of a sudden, and so basically to kind of, for people who don't know what it is, real quick, like Amazon started their own platform similar to YouTube where it's like, why are we sending people to YouTube to watch videos, to potentially click on affiliate links, to buy a product when we should pay or like have influencers on our own platform to talk about products. Put that video on the product page, and when someone clicks on it, buys, we compensate the influencer for helping the shopper make that decision.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I made like 30 videos in Puerto Rico and of just all my gear, like microphones, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right.
And all of a sudden, this thing starts generating hundreds of dollars a month. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. This is crazy, dude. Like, I have a YouTube channel. I have a podcast that does well. And, like, to make this amount of money in the first month is, like, ridiculous. And so I couldn't do anything, though, because I was in the middle of the ocean. Shipping was crazy expensive. I couldn't get products. And then when I came home, I was like, I'm going to go all in on Amazon, like, just for 30 or 60 days. Or no, maybe it was, like, 90 days. And this is another thing I have learned in 2020 was, like, give yourself a timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just because you say, like, I'm going to start a podcast, I'm going to start a YouTube channel, I'm going to start whatever, like, give yourself 3 months, give yourself 6 months or a year, and just be accountable to it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes people will just start something with no, like, end in sight, and then, like, be like, oh, when's this over? But, like, give yourself a year and go, cool, I'm going to reevaluate in a year or whatever. So, anyway, I started doing Amazon Live. I was like, I'm going to do this thing for 3 months and see what happens. Well, dude, after 3 months, I think I'd made like 500 or 600 product videos. Worked with like that many brands because it's all different products and that's what they do. That's what I do now. They send me products. I do a review video. They pay me. They compensate me. I keep the product. I sell it or whatever.
Right.
And it's like become this high frequency, lucrative, like little business. And so, dude, I've been going ham on it for like the last six mm-hmm. months, but it's totally my speed, totally my style. Like, I love it. Everything's live to drive. I don't edit anything. Yeah. The most I do is like trim and quick time, like the ends of it where I'm just like starting and or ending the video, and everything's set up in my studio and I'm just live to drive this whole thing. And I've done like almost 1,000 videos on Amazon at this point. And I get paid off of every one of those. Yeah. Like, they're like little cash machines. They just sit out there, and when people click on them, I get paid a little bit of commission, and then, you know, I get compensated from some of the brands. I have different deals structured or whatever. But I, you know, out of doing all that stuff, I found, you know, what I love so much so that people around me are like, holy cow, dude, like, you're the happiest I've seen you in a decade. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just having fun, dude. I'm opening up presents every day because I'll do a deal and the thing won't show up for like a week or maybe even 2 weeks. And then I forget. And I'm like, oh, it's a solar generator. Like, it's so cool, you know? And then I like get to mess with that, get to mess with a bunch of techie stuff. But dude, I would never know that if I didn't start a podcast.
Right.
I would never have been in touch with the creator who told me about this platform. And so now it's like, all these skill sets from years ago, even working at a nonprofit, they all like add up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if somebody's listening to the show and they're like, oh man, I wish I was doing something cool like that. Or, you know, what I mean, people do that to me all the time. Like, oh man, you're so lucky. I'm like, no, dude, no. It's not luck. No, bro.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's sweat equity. It's tears. It's, you know, sweat, blood and tears or whatever the saying is. Yeah. It's like, dude, I showed up for years mm-hmm. to get the skill set to be able to produce the stuff I produce and the way I produce it and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's like, invest in yourself as a creator and be selfish, man. I was super selfish in 2020. I'm going to be more selfish in 2023. Yeah. And it's not to say I'm not going to help people, because I want to, you know, I met a guy today who has a young kid and it's an artist. I'm like, dude, you could crush it on Amazon Live. Like, let me show you how. I'll show you for free. Yeah. You know, I want to do that. But as far as like partnering with other people and doing all that stuff, I'm keep it small, keep it all, and just scale my own business and get really diligent with it. So
that's good.
Yeah, dude, it's insane, man. But the opportunity out there is insane. Like, anybody who is like a content creator who's like, I just can't make a living out of this, like, you're just doing it wrong. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. It's like, if I can, with, you know, maybe across all platforms, 15,000 followers, make a full-time living. I mean, I'll make more money this year if it keeps trending than I've made in any business endeavor or any job I've ever had.
Wow.
You know, in the next 12 months. Yeah. And so it's like, if I can do that with less than 20,000 followers on all my social media put together, dude, anybody, and I'm like the least talented person in the room for sure. And it's like, dude, the capabilities out there, the possibilities are endless. It's insane. So anyway, sorry to get off on that tangent. I just want to inspire some people.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you hit on the main thing is show up. Show up every day. Show up every day, work hard. And it's there for you. The opportunity's out there. Take it. It's yours.
Yeah, man, you didn't get those muscles by just hanging out in the living room. Went to the gym.
I mean, Chris has known me for the longest time. It's been this last year.
Yeah. I mean, he was in shape before just because he was doing a bunch of MMA stuff. But it's more like, I feel like he's had a mental shift where he's like, I'm not doing it just to go for a fight. I'm doing it for like the longevity.
Find a coach.
Yeah.
Well, yes. let's go back to Reggie's thing. I mean, I put it out there talking about creating content. There was a snippet that I took from Reggie that he was talking about. Find yourself a therapist, find yourself a performance coach, find yourself a trainer personal trainer. And he said how much better he would have been if he would have found those three people earlier on.
Yeah.
And just do it.
Yeah. And better yet, do what they say.
Right. Yeah. And actually like listen to them.
You know? Put the action out there. And dude, it's weird the ROI you'll see on just taking basic things and just doing them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and dude, I've been a procrastinator my whole life. I mean, I just told you guys, I'm a high school dropout who basically just lazy in high school. But there was like certain things about high school I love. Like, I did a whole music album, you know, with one of my classes there with a substitute teacher that literally changed my whole entire life. So it wasn't really that my work ethic wasn't there. It was like, I was just trying to play in a program I wasn't designed for. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of times, man, we get into this routine. And I did this with COVID. You know, with COVID, I could have went and got a job. I probably should have just went and got a job. I mean, honestly. But what I did was talk to a bunch of entrepreneurs, figured out what could serve, you know, one or two of them. Yeah. And then, and I didn't even share this part of the story, but during that, I used to have this little neck gaiter business where I'd order these fishing neck gaiters from China. My wife designed them, like digitally painted them, super cool. And we sold them locally to a couple of stores. And then I actually sold that business. And then a guy called me from one of the kayak shops. Was like, dude, can you get any more of these neck gaiters? Like, we're selling out. Because it was during COVID, you know, everybody's putting them for a mask. And I was like, nah, dude, let me call the guy I sold the company to. Maybe he can help you. Called him. He's like, dude, I'm out. I'm not interested. Whatever. I'm like, well, I still have the contact information to the manufacturing company. My business just died. Any, do you care if I step back in, not under the same brand, but just step in general as a provider? And he's like, yeah, dude, go for it. So, dude, we sold some locally, but I sold probably $50,000 worth of those things in a couple of months on eBay.
Damn.
I mean, I was running out of my spare bedroom, which financed the podcast studio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was like a part of it. But I could have just quit. Right. I had every right to just go, you know what? I'm hanging up the towel. I'm out of here. And so, but I think that's it. Like, you just got to believe in yourself because no one else is going to do it. No one's going to hand you, no one has handed me jack squat except for my father-in-law. I owe him $900. But besides that, you know, like nobody's just come to me like, oh, here's opportunity. Here's opportunity. Here's opportunity. I didn't come from that life. I didn't come from money. I didn't come from anything. Like, I'm bootstrapping every single opportunity. And then with, but there is that mindset shift where you just have to go, I'm going to do, and I'm going to believe this can happen for me. And I'm not even trying to like make it happen. I'm just believing that it can happen. Right. And I'm using my imagination and going, okay, this is what life can be like. Mm-hmm. I can be debt free. I can be successful. I can, you know, well, after living in Puerto Rico, I don't even care about a nice car. I just care about a car that works. Right. So I don't even care about a nice car. Like, I used to dream of Tesla. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care, man. I got my Honda Element. It's 15 years old. It works perfect. So, but anyway, yeah, man.
You had a fun car story in Puerto Rico.
Dude, I had so many. Man, actually, I have a tattoo of that car on my arm.
Is that a Wagoneer?
Dude, this is a 1996 Montero, a Mitsubishi Montero. Yeah, yeah. And my wife drew this, illustrated, took a picture of it, illustrated it, and we both got tattoos to commemorate the trip. But dude, so Puerto Rico changed my life forever in multiple ways. And that's a funny story because I went on a surprise birthday trip. My wife, Luke Tippett, and some of our friends, they were like, hey, like, let's go tarpon fishing in North Carolina. So I was like, yeah, cool. And I know tarpon fishing in North Carolina is like hush, hush.
Right.
So I made this joke of like, hey, I'll wear a blindfold and we can make some content, whatever, bring your camera, like we'll do the whole thing. And so he's like, yeah. Well, from that conversation, they like planned this surprise birthday trip to Puerto Rico for 5 days for me. So I get in the car at 3:00 in the morning, put on a blindfold. We drive for a couple hours. And dude, I'm like directionally challenged. Like, I don't pay attention to turns. I'm just like having fun.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going tarpon fishing. This is great. And so we pull into the parking lot and he's like, hey, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get the camera and then we'll pull you out and pull the blindfold off and we'll get, you know, go. And I'm like, cool. So dude gets out, pulls the blindfold off. There's like 10 of my best friends like standing there like, let's go to Puerto Rico, get your stuff, we're late, we gotta go. We're like at the Raleigh airport. People are like handing me luggage, they're like handing me cash, they're like telling me what the deal was. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm one of those people where, you know, Luke was like, hey, bring a bag, we might stay a day or two extra. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm not, like, I gotta work, I got a job, like, I'm not trying to I'm like real structured in my expectations or whatever.
Right.
And dude, it was best vacation of my life. So fast forward to January. That was in November of 2020. And then my wife and I went with our son in the next January. And then Luke and his wife were like, hey, we're going to move down there. You guys should consider it. And I'm like, nah, man, this is not, we're not going to do that. And dude, the funniest part was like, it kept coming up in conversation, like random people, like, hey, have you ever been to Puerto Rico? And I'm like,
yeah,
man, like a couple times. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. And then my wife and I kept talking about it, and I'm like, okay, honey, like, look, let's just do this. Let's just move the pieces of the puzzle, and if the puzzle comes together, we'll move down there for a year. So part of that was, like, renting out our house, finding a house to rent down there, like, all these little puzzle pieces. And so it kind of started coming together, so we're like, okay, we'll keep pushing it. And then I sold this rug to this lady, and I met her in a parking lot, and she was talking to me. I was like, yeah. She's like, are you moving? I'm like, yeah, we're thinking about moving to Puerto Rico for, like, a year. And she like starts crying. I'm like, oh gosh, man, not this. Oh, no. Like, what is happening? And I was like, are you all right? She's like, listen, I just want to tell you the story real quick. And she tells me the story about how her and her husband wanted to move to Ireland for a year when they're in their 30s and they never did. And they're in their 60s and they sit on their couch every night talking about what would life be like if they moved to Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Dude, so I got back in the car. I was like, honey, we're moving to Puerto Rico. Like, what do we got to do? And dude, so we went there. We drove this 1996 Montero Sport that was just ragged. I mean, it was great for 3 months. And then I call it the island car because it just like started falling apart, oil leaking, had to get all this stuff fixed on it. And it was just a big piece of trash, man. It was a big piece of trash. But the most annoying thing about it was it like my wife called me one morning and was like, hey, I'm at the grocery store and I'm stuck. And I'm like, what do you mean you're stuck? Like, it's not raining. There's no, there's like, not like, what do you do? She's like, it won't go in reverse. The car won't go in reverse.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, all right. So basically if the car wouldn't go in reverse, you had to wait for like 15 or 20 minutes for it to like warm up or change its mind or whatever it was doing. So dude, so one of the biggest lessons I learned like from this car was like, anytime we go into a parking spot, we had to like really scope out the area to make sure we could always go forward and we can never go in reverse. And so like my wife and I learned basically like, hey, we always have to position ourselves like to go forward and we can't go backwards.
Right.
And so that's why part of the reason I got this tattoo is like, cause if I ever get down and out, I'm like, look, man, you survived that. Like, you didn't work on cars, but I learned to work on a car. Yeah. You know, I learned how to sweat and no AC. I lost 67 pounds doing keto, jeez, like all in Puerto Rico. So, you know, I was in a culture, like I was a minority for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Dude, changed my perspective forever. I was like, what is going on? Like, this is, I now know not the full extent of what minorities feel in the United States, but I feel that. Like, I feel like the outsider for the first time ever. So it was pretty wild. A lot of life lessons.
There is a story that you actually posted on social media that I still talk about today, and you probably don't even remember this story, like posting it on social media, but it meant a lot to me for some reason, and it's because I have a son as part of it, and then just the lesson that your son could teach the people at his age. And it's about when, was it like a ice cream place or like an ice place that you would go to pretty often?
Oh, yeah, the popsicle place.
The popsicle place.
Yep.
Yes,
yep,
they kept asking for a spoon.
Yep, he kept, dude, that was awesome. So we would go to this little popsicle place. I wish I remember the name, dude. It's great. It's a downtown Isabella, and it's, dude, it's awesome. Like, organic ingredients, all this fun stuff, and they dip it in, like, oh, it's so good. If I could have, I could fly there right now and get one. It's so good. But we go there, like, probably once or twice a week or something. And every single time, dude, this guy would ask for a spoon, and they were like, no, don't have a spoon, don't have a spoon. But it would never stop him from asking. And he just asked so much that one day he asked, and the owner's like, yep, I bought a box of spoons for you. Like, and I was like, okay, man, like, you just got to keep asking. And that's a part of, that's part of everything. You know, it's like, people don't know how they can help you unless you ask them to. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that, that's not for everything, like, but for those things that really matter in life, it's like, dude, we all need each other. Like, we can't, as much as I want to ride solo all the time, because I just like, I love that, I can't. I need people. And so I think, was that the story you're talking about?
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah, the persistence, man. Like, dude, and this dude, I mean, you know, you have, you got kids?
No.
Okay. Lucky dog. No, I'm right. But dude, my kid teaches me so many things about, you know, persistence. Like, gosh, they're so persistent, man. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
And he gets what he wants a lot because he's persistent, just wears it down. I'm like, exactly. Wow. You know, so yeah, that's a good story. Thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you've mentioned it on the podcast before.
Yeah. And it's because my son is the same type of things too, that the main reason why it made it connect to me so much is there's so much you can learn from kids that you just automatically do as a human being, that you show up into this world and you do these things. And then for some reason, like, society beats it out of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, actually that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to persistence, how many times did your kid have to try to stand up before he actually started walking?
That's right.
And like, forever. And you don't just push the kid back down the next time he stands up. And it's like, you tried this before, it didn't work last time, why don't you just keep sitting down?
Yeah.
But for some reason, when we get to life now, if you try to start a business, everyone's like, why are you doing that? Why would you want to try to start a business?
Yeah.
Why, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? This person failed. That person failed.
Yeah. Dude, that was one of the funniest things about moving to Puerto Rico is like, and if anybody wants to know who their true friends are and their true supporters and like people who really want them to succeed, tell them you're going to do something crazy. Like, yeah. Tell me you're going to move to Puerto Rico or you're going to move somewhere for a year. And the people who really believed in us was like, cool. It was like, I told them I got my haircut or something. They're like, yeah, awesome. Like, how can I help you? And then the people who aren't really supporters of us gave us 50 million. Dude, people said the craziest stuff to me. Like, one guy's like, bro, are you afraid your wife's going to get down there and get raped by those Puerto Ricans? And I'm like,
No,
I've actually been down there twice.
Right. And, yeah. It's never been
that's
a concern.
Weird. Okay. That you would even say that out loud. Like, I'm shame on you, you know? Right. But that was like the craziest stuff, dude, that people would say. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. And that really taught me a lesson, man. You know, even my podcast partner, like for him, it was like a lot to do now because he'd have to set up his own production studio in his office. And even he was like, yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. Good for you guys. Go have fun. Go experience life. And so, yeah, man, go if you want to like whittle it out down to the core, like tell somebody you're doing something crazy. Just tell everybody in 1 week, I'm moving somewhere crazy, even if you're not. And then you'll just know who your true friends are. It was insane.
So to that same line, too, we had another woman on, Erica Stillman. And a few months ago, she said, you know what? I'm selling all my stuff. I'm going to live out of my van. She was like, that's what I want to do. I want to live out. I want to be away from everything and just live out of my van, be out in the wilderness and stuff like that. And I reached out to her and I was like, that's awesome. Like, that's right down your alley. You're going to love that. And she goes, thank you so much for reaching out. You would be surprised how many people, even people I don't even know, that are reaching out and saying, like, what a bad idea this is. And she was like, so I really appreciate you reaching out to me and saying that. And I'm like, well, first of all, why does anyone care?
Yeah.
And I was like, the only reason I was reaching out is because I knew this was a great opportunity for you and you were going to love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's weird, man.
Well, and now she's moved to California.
Yeah. And yeah, so cool. I just love like the free spirit type of people are willing to take those risks like you did going to Puerto Rico, just being like, hey, you know what? You only live once. Let's go do it.
I didn't want to be on my couch at 65 looking at my wife going, I wonder what would happen if we moved to Puerto Rico. Now I know what happened. Now I can tell the story of what happened. It's like,
exactly.
And then it opens up this whole, you know, other world of like anything is possible. Like, you know, for me, like we lived in the mountains of Tennessee. That's where we grew up. So moving to Wilmington, North Carolina was like this big deal. And, you know, like we moved here in 2015. So it was like a big deal for us to go, like, can we make it on our own? We owned two businesses at that time. I moved my company here. So it was like, okay, can we even survive this? And then we did. So that was like a boost of confidence. You know, it was like, okay, we can do it. Then when we moved to Puerto Rico, dude, internally and probably externally to my wife, I was freaking out. Like, I'm like, oh, man, I'm moving somewhere. I don't speak Spanish. I know no Spanish. And a little bit of Spanish I did know, come to find out, Puerto Ricans, like, have their own, like, Spanish. Yeah. So it's not even the same. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks high school for nothing. Like, I knew I shouldn't have paid attention to that class. It's so, you know, that. And but now it's like we've done that. We've shipped dogs. We've done the hard thing. And now that we've done the hard thing, we understand, like, anything else is possible. And the more hard things you do and the more things you figure out, it's like the more confidence you get to do other things. And I think, you know, like, especially in the US here, it's like, dude, our culture, like, is our educational system is built on factory workers. Like, okay, go to school, do what you're told, sit down, shut up, raise your hand. And like, bro, I'm like, whose original personality at their core is that?
Yeah.
Like,
there's a handful of people.
Well, and those
are
some,
not many.
Those are some great people. And they're all accountants, so good for them.
Right.
Or they work in a factory.
Or they work in a factory. I mean, and you know what? We can have those people, too. My wife reminds me of that. She's like, honey, not everyone can be an entrepreneur, a content creator, take big risk, and like, not care. Like, you. Yeah. I mean, I do care, but it's like, everything is pretty calculated. It's risky to other people because they've never done it.
Right.
But to me, it's a pretty calculated thing of like, okay, I think this is going to work. Now, obviously, some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. Some stuff works for a little while and it disappears. But it's like, dude, I would rather be 85, like, all right, man, I tried. Like, I'd rather be 85 and poor, living in a dumpster, and be like, at least I gave it a shot, you know? It's like, but yeah, it's crazy, man. At least I took some action, you know? Yep. So I don't know.
So on that note, I got a question for you.
All right.
What would be your definition of success?
Happiness.
Yeah.
Happiness. I mean, I think that's the thing, man. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Cause you know, it's like, I don't make the most, I mean, you're like, oh, Billy, you're making money. Like, money's nothing, right? Anybody can make money. The guy on the corner here when I was pulling in probably makes more money a year than I do just holding up a sign that doesn't even have anything on it because it's been rained off. Like,
right.
He probably makes more money than I do, but I'm way happier than he is. And the guy wearing a tie and going to the corporate job and CEO of 150, you know, whatever, maybe he's happy, maybe he's not. I don't know. Maybe he spent 10 years of his life getting a career that he hates, and he wants to be the guy in board shorts in Puerto Rico, like, you know, selling hot dogs or whatever. Like, but I think that also boils down to, like, what we expect other people or kind of people's expectations of us. And that's been pressed on us so much growing up. And, you know, luckily I have parents who are pretty lenient on me. They weren't like, got to go to school, got to be a doctor, got to do this. My wife, my mom was like, "Yo, dude, if you don't turn into a crackhead, like, I'm going to be proud of you. Like, good job." You know, because that's where we grew up, man. We grew up around drugs and alcohol, and my mom got beat, you know, when I was 5 years old. I watched her get beat up by this alcoholic dude every day for a year. And so it's like, oh, you go to school, you go to college, you, like, you got a job. Good. You're successful. Like, that is. But I think, like, if you can wake up every day and you're pumped to go to work, like, who cares if that's at Chick-fil-A or if that's at cleaning toilets or if that's running American Airlines or, like, whatever. It's like, dude, whatever makes you tick and gets you fired up and, you know, every day is, like, that's what makes me, I feel successful now. Like, no matter what's in the bank, no matter what's, you know, car I drive or what people think I make or what people think I do, I don't give a rip what anybody thinks I do. I'm like, and I think in the last year I've stepped into that of, I found myself and I'm really happy with that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And it's kind of an interesting feeling because I think your whole life you are trying to do that, but maybe you don't even know you're trying to do that. And even people comment, people are like, "Hey man, you're not the same Billy you were a year ago. Is everything okay?" And I'm like, one, I'm glad because I, I think we need to evolve as we go on through life. But two, yeah, dude, I'm so comfortable in my skin. I don't feel the need to impress anyone anymore. And so I feel successful. If I died today, you know, I'd be like, cool. I did a thing, man. I had a beautiful life. It was great. So, yeah, I think that would be my definition of success.
That's fantastic. And so for the last question to build on that, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, man, so many things. I think if I could go back and tell myself one thing, it would just be to believe in myself.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, just believe that you can do it. Because, you know, I think so many times growing up, I looked for other people to say, "Hey, man, you're doing great. Hey, you're doing awesome." You know, like probably 2 years ago, if I walked in the studio and you're like, "Hey, man, you really helped us out do this podcast," that would have meant more to me than my anything, right? But I was like, "Oh, man, that's really cool. That's dope. I'm glad I could do that."
Right.
But it gives me life to do it some more, but it wouldn't have been like the pinnacle. Like, two years ago, it would have been the pinnacle. It'd have been like, "Oh my gosh, really, man? Like, oh, this is so great." Like, you know, and I appreciate it, but I think it's, you know, that's part of it too. It's just like, all right, man, just believe that you can do it and just put the effort together. So, and it's hard too.
It's interesting that you say that too, because it's funny when I talk to different people and if I give them like an accolade for something, you can tell who's truly, I guess, confident in themselves, because the ones that aren't get really big headed with it. And they're like, "Oh my goodness. Like, I made this, like, whatever."
Yeah.
And then people that are like truly confident, they appreciate it, of course, because like anything like that. But they're like, "Well, yeah. Like, I am who I am and I'm confident in what I'm teaching you. So I know this is good." And so you can kind of tell like what's real and what's not that way too.
Yeah, man. And I think you learn that over time. You know, how to just be comfortable in your own skin. And maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and I won't be. I mean, there's probably moments of like,
Of course.
I don't feel like, you know, I need to go impress somebody or whatever. And there's so many things where, you know, talking about a therapist, my gosh, I probably should call one right now to figure this out. But it's like, you know, you grow up your whole life and sometimes people are for you, sometimes they're against you. And there's so many opinions going around your world. And it's like, if I could, and another one more thing I would tell myself is like, focus on yourself like as much as you want to focus on other people. And I think oftentimes, maybe not so much this like millennial age and down, But especially like my parents' age, like, you know, like whatever, it's like they're like keep up with the Joneses kind of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I just can't do that because I'm not going to keep up with who I am and not with anybody else. And I can be super selfish, which sounds weird. I mean, selfish in a weird way. Not like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah. And I think that's important too, because especially in the social media world that we are in now, you always feel like you want to impress someone else. And we've already talked about, no one really cares.
No one really cares.
So I mean,
really
be selfish.
And as content creators, man, it's like, I'm going to put out this content to do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And for somebody to sit across the table from me and say, hey, man, your content meant something to me. It really helped us get this podcast started. That's enough for me. Right. That's it. That's like, that's great. It did what it was supposed to for who it was supposed to at the moment it did it. Now, if that's for a million people and goes viral, even better. I'll go sell some sponsorships.
Right.
But if it's for 10 people and it changed their world and gave them the confidence to hit record, to put their voice out there, to create their own legacy, then, dude, I'm in. I'm in for it. So all you can do is be you, and whatever the results of that are is what they are.
Yeah, so. That's awesome.
I just want to say thank you, Billy.
Thank you guys, man,
coming on here.
It's been great. Thank you for this class, too.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it's public knowledge that you give everyone. You give every guest this class?
All the guests.
Man.
Come in. Get a Whiskey and Wisdom class.
Now everybody's going to be like, well, let me on the show. I make content. I got a TikTok.
Right. I went viral, Rob.
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to have anything to shout out?
No, man. I mean, if you guys want to check out what I do on Amazon and see what that's all about, it's just dillbilly.live. And I just have a lot of fun on there, going live, creating product videos. It's kind of my obsession right now. So a year from now, who knows if it'll even be around. But right now, I'm like obsessed. So yeah, that'd be the only thing if people want to check that out. And I will say it is all affiliate stuff and I make money off of it. So if somebody clicks on there and buys something from Amazon, I have to say that via some law that I can't remember who made it up. But
yeah, who knows?
Some three-letter organization says I got to say that. So anyway, that's what it is.
Yeah, I'm in a similar world where you have to disclose, and disclose some more is what a coach of mine said. So
I appreciate you guys, man. This has been awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you guys for listening and have a good one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.